Not even Talden belongs to affection. And the increasing polarization of Talden society is raising tensions across the nation. Other conflicts, growing political instability in Thuvia, rumors of the Seven Houses undermining Andorian's government, the squashed rebellion in Chiliax, and the secession in Rundeval serve only to intensify this turmoil. Secret societies and fraternities, a long-time staple of Talden aristocracy, that until the recent mounted little more than private clubs, have begun to maneuver, gaining real power and hoarding wealth, with the expectation that Grand Prince Stephen III's passing will lead to a painful and protracted succession conflict.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Matt, let's have it.
Dice Before Dishonor.
In the house with me, a short crew, a quick cast, but for episode... Geez, what episode are we on? 29? Episode 30? No, episode 19? I think we're on episode 19. I want to say 19, maybe 20. Took us 20-odd episodes to get through the prologue to prove a point. Took a little while, but it's worth it, listening back, you know. Now we're in season one of Dice Before Dishonor. They're rampage paging the Senate. They're glad-handing like fiends. They're drinking like monsters. They're slaying the ladies. No, actually, no one's really got any phone numbers yet.
Yeah.
Well, Aiden's not doing bad with Jalissa. So, here we are, counting down the minutes. I believe we left Winston of the Paw. Sir Winston. We really need to change that on your mini. With Lord Gildevar
right.
Talking to Duke Leonard Cementis, a half-elf, a little Hawaiian look to him, Malaysian maybe, is in a wheelchair with a southern poker reverence to everything. And I believe you guys had done a sufficient amount of glad-handing and wooing, but, you know, some of these guys, they don't go down so easy. They're not conquered so quickly. I'd like to know, to seal the deal, I believe one of the last things the Duke said to Lord Gildevarth was he was like, let's ride together, squeak, squeak on the wheels, into the future, talking about the primogeniture vote, which sounded like you pretty much had him on your side. Appearing from the Senate floor, loathed but willing, necessarily, to leave Kaibo of Breezy Creek, to leave Madam Lady Jalissa of the Order of the Star, and Zimbari. Aiden Williams is in the house tonight, and he is playing...
Willems.
It's late on a Sunday morning, but too early for me, I guess. Approaches you, and in tow, a uncomfortable, slightly disheveled in his courtier outfit, freckled, red-haired, wild, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, young, early 20s man, following him. Maybe Fall almost has a pained look on his face, like he's trying to get away. Approaches you guys, just as you guys are wrapping up here, with the Duke. So, Cementus, you know, yes, you and me, buddy, and rolls off. Excuse me, I have to be elsewhere in the archive. Do-do-do-do-do. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Off he goes. Love that ride. Fafal.
Yes.
Kaibo was quite taken with the three of you. But Jalissa pulls one on you and says, excuse me, politely, to you and him, and pulls Zimbari off of him, leaving him with you. With almost an apologetic look, like you're about to take one for the team, and you don't even know it, and, you know, get Zimbari out of there, leaving Kaibo. Well, I guess it's you and me! And let's say, I'm assuming, you know, oh, look at the time, you know, like, gotta get back to my lord, and off he goes, and Kaibo follows you. So, Lord Gildevar, Sir Winston, young Kaibo of Breezy Creek approaches. Knowledge local, knowledge nobility, to actually know who this guy is. Or Fafal, if you would care to, you know, just let him in. What do you want to do, guys?
I can try to make a knowledge nobility.
Five.
I blatantly failed at my attempt of knowledge nobility.
It's fine. He's not a noble for another couple hours anyway, right? Now he's just
right?
Kaibo
right.
of
He's
local.
A nobody.
He's a nobody.
I got a 12.
Nope.
I think I did about the same knowledge local on him too, so I have no idea who this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's here, he must be relatively important. So I'll address him as an equal.
Okay. Well, lords, you know, and looking this guy up and down, can I have a perception?
Sure.
Okay. Now, if you want to be kind and choose to treat him like a lord, that's fine. But like, remember, you in this caste society, I'm not trying to put a player first over another, but technically you outrank Winston, your friend. You know what I mean?
Title schmeidel. My guy's super kind of kickback about it. Okay. As long as it's like company of friends or acquaintances, then titles don't mean much to him. But when he's in a foreign land or people are starting to try to throw their weight around, then he'll become insistent on call me by my full name.
Yeah.
Yach.
But even with Arabella Capris, you at least treated Winston with enough respect to elevate him to sir. Not like, this is Lord Winston, get used to it. And he stands up on the wall, you know. I'm asking. I'm not telling you. I'm asking. This is...
Yeah.
Right?
No, I mean, yeah. Okay. I'll try to treat everybody equally with respect. It greases the wheels.
You're breaking the mold on religion, and you don't care. If you want to break the mold on the caste system and see where your popularity goes...
It can't go much lower.
With the bearded... Oh, but the common people love you, right?
That's right.
Anyway, Fafal, if you would.
Well, Kaibo, this is my lord, the man that I serve under, Lord Samish Gildevarth, and our good compatriot, Sir Winston.
I'll turn and look at him. Kaibo, is it? And what lands do you hail from?
Oh yes, my lord. I'm from Breeze Creek. It's a pleasure. And he goes to reach out his hand and then realizes this is not how you address a lord. And he just quickly just sort of drops his hand. The hand's still out. But he seesaws it downward as he bows while simultaneously trying to shake the hand. You know, just kind of...
Mr. Roboto.
Yeah, not his etiquette isn't quite there yet, you know. He instantly is starry-eyed, but the boy has a pure honesty about him. You know, he's a farm boy. Like, he says he's from Breezy Creek. Knowledge geography, tell you guys where that is. You know, it's easy. Everything's north of the capital. You know, it's inland, right? Breezy Creek, some tiny little...
Knowledge Geography 17.
Oh, Winston. Yeah, you know Breezy Creek. It's not.
Of course I do.
It's not far from a settlement of halflings that you roam through and, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've got a Knowledge Geography 7. I hear it's lovely this time of year, ? Moving on. Clap him on the shoulder. Well, you're in good company today, sir. We don't have drinks. I'll start kind of pecking my head up, looking around.
Sure.
What do I know about Breezy Creek? What kind of food's good there?
It's a small community. There's, you know, it's a dot on the map, to be honest. It's there's nothing really to tell. You know where it is, and it's a good place for you to stop and just like supply up as you go from settlement to settlement, but you know, the big thing though. What about a knowledge local from Fafal? Or actually, sorry, Fafal, you've through talking with Jalissa and Zumbari. The man talked about, you know, why he's here. He's being elevated. He's today's celebrity. And that he's a really renowned tapestry weaver, his family. And they've chosen this guy because of that, because of his renowned tapestry making over the years, to elevate him from the common man to the gentry of the bearded. Today is his day, the day of exaltation. He's the chosen one. Your guys seem to be at loss going, oh, yeah, Breezy Creek, where's that? North.
Well, my good men. He is actually a renowned tapestry weaver. I mean, they truly are beautiful. And because of this, he is actually being ascended today. He is the one that we are all celebrating for the Exaltation Day.
Oh, lovely. I'll say, you know, kind of turn and clap him on the shoulder. So then this party is in your behalf. Thank you for inviting us or for having us here in attendance.
Well, I didn't exactly invite you all. There must be some sort of... misunderstanding, my lord. He takes what you say very literally.
Oh yeah,
he doesn't get the, you know, oh, we're here because of you, it's your day, right? He's just like, I don't know you, sir. I didn't invite you. You're welcome. I'm happy to meet you. I just, you know, he seems confused, but he is definitely raw. You know, okay. But and you know, charming in his own little way. Let me just see. I think I've got a picture here I can show you and bring up. Let's search for Kaibo in the Calbio. Sorry, it's Calbio. And Calbio. Mm-hmm. Calbio, Calbio, come on, Calbio.
And while he's searching for his image, and no, look at my picture.
I've got a blow up to show the audience here. Oh, here we go, show players. There we go. Can you guys see this?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's got his little tiny stubbly red chin strap and the little mesh of hair just under the lip there. You know, just starting his gentry today.
Soul patch.
Yeah, get the soul patch going on. Thank you. Reddish brown hair, faded gray green eyes, a speckle of freckles on the forehead and across the
Calbio
top of the cheeks.
Calbio of Breezy Creek.
That's right. Now he is very tan. You know, like the guy's seen outdoors, obviously. He's not pale, you know. Definitely, what do you call it? Definitely a man of the earth, you know. Man of the earth, you know, soil and such. I'm just going to keep Kaibo off to the side here where everyone can still kind of see him. So, gentlemen, you were saying.
Was I? Oh, I was just going to address Calbio and say, well, you found your way to Fafal here, so you're not doing half bad as far as the introductions go around the room. Hopefully you've managed to stay out of trouble so far.
Oh, I'm not looking for trouble. Looking, he kind of got double hand points at Fafal, like, is he trouble?
My lord, I have no idea what you're talking about. I am the epitome of grace and virtue and innocence. I mean, look at me. Could I do harm to anyone?
On that note, Madame Trant appears with guards that had nothing to do with the arrest.
There they are! That man right there stole my pin!
Those men! Sorry, she was unconscious. She doesn't know who patted down the body, but sees Varth and Fafal and Winston, all part of the battle, together, clumped with Kaibo. So, Madame Trant hikes up her green dress and, you know, masculinely, comes stomping over with a contingent of, like, six guards that she spent, obviously, the last hour from the far side of the room, has nothing to do with the arrest or whatever, and, you know, demands, I demand you arrest these people! Return my property! You know, and she's on about some personal possession as well as her pin. Anyway, the guards turn to you and say, and expectantly look for you guys. They give you that pause, that last chance to introduce yourselves. Do you know who I am? You know, that kind of thing, to make an argument, whatever. They don't just suddenly run over and slap cuffs on you guys. They themselves don't seem to know who you guys are. But they do kind of, you know, one approaches and she's impatiently waiting. Sirs, you know, is this true? The lady has claims to have witnesses that we spoke to that aren't brave enough to show up now because you guys sufficiently cowed them. You know, the psychophants all, like, gave these guys statements as she, tell them, you know, well, yep, that was them, bye, you know. So the psychophants aren't here, but apparently the guards did talk to the psychophants, the ones that are conscious again. And, you know, oh yes, they, you know, they beat us and robbed us, kind of thing. Anyway, she's not asking to have you arrested for injury or insult, just theft. So at least she's smart enough not to, like, dig up that story where she's obviously going to lose as guards. You know, it's like a brand new charge, right?
So I'll speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Preposterous! And I'll wheel Barkley around in between the guards and Lord Varth, Gilder Varth.
Okay. Get in the way?
Yep.
All right. Let's say Crazy Breek. Calbo Breezy Creek steps back. Okay, Winston, you step up. We'll say the guards are to the south of you here. They're just coming out of the Senate area.
Okay.
Right? And you guys are being, you know, accosted from the bottom here. They're all lined up. Right? Breezy Creek just steps back and is dumbfounded, watching everything play out, jaw agape. Oh, my. Winston, you pull up, you know?
Yep.
How dare you accuse my liege of such preposterous notions?
So
apologize this instant.
Because I know where the pin is, it's actually on Winston or on Barkley.
Right,
yeah, his collar. Oops. You wheeling him up right in front of them, I have afforded not them, but her a perception check, and she nailed it. She's like there! That's my property! Pointing at Barkley's collar. And the guards are confused. The collar? You know? Like.
So I will walk up, hand patting on Barkley, because I know exactly where the pin is. You know, just giving him rubdowns, you know, a little rub on the side, and then, like, get to the collar, slide a hand the pin away, and palm it.
Okay. So are you removing the collar to go, well, I'm pretty sure this belongs to, like, as the proverbial distraction, and the pin, look, there's no pin here, that kind of thing? If you, yes. If you just go over and touch the dog, then it's kind of obvious that you're palming. If you want to go over and, like, oh, this? You know, you pretty sure? You know,
yeah, no, so I'll walk up,
okay.
Lean down, undo the collar, be like, well, my good gentleman and lady, as you can see, the collar is the only thing on... You know, Barclay here, you know, the noblest of steeds. Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay. Wonderful. Picture a side profile Barclay, and you come down to face view, and you reach out and grab his collar, and the eyeball just turns, and the lip snarls with one tooth, is like, are you touching me? Winston, dude's manhandling your mount. Mounts does not like it.
Handle animal 17 to keep him calm.
Okay. As you were, Fafal.
And so as I'm lifting up the collar, I'll spin it so that the inside is the only thing visible and, you know, like run my hand so that it stretches out.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm doing that, palm the pin.
Okay.
And then flip it the other way to show.
All right.
There's nothing here.
So let's have a bluff with the speech to convince everyone and the sleight of hand for the actual palming, please.
All right. I got a 12 on the bluff.
Okay. Sort of a your word against theirs.
I'll actually assist him on the bluff.
You remember that you, right in front of Fafal, put it on Barclay's collar, and he goes for the collar, and look here, and you're like, oh, is he giving it over? Oh, no, he's not. He's, you know, sure.
Yeah. With a 14.
You're extra helpful. So you have plus 3, right?
Extra helpful, so I give him plus 4, actually.
Oh, wow, so that's like 16.
Dang.
There you go.
16 on bluff. Okay, so that's better.
Okay.
And I'll just kind of, as an added distraction, say, I dare say, that collar would not fit you, my lady.
All right, and then I got a 14 on the sleight of hand.
Okay. Palming.
Look, I'm rolling today. How much I can do?
Yeah. It's not like a pickpocket where you need 20. You know what I mean? As long as he keeps the mount calm, it's easy in front of everyone. You're not trying to hide that you're taking the collar. It's just that last little. So I believe this type of sleight of hand.
It's a DC 10 to palm a small coin-sized object.
Yeah, so you success without dropping it, you successfully get away, but I've got to beat your 14 to see if they notice that you've taken something. 1. 3.
Nice.
8. Yeah, no, that's not happening. So you're just like this? You know. Anyway. No, I saw it. It wasn't just the buckle. The pin, you know, she's going red in the face and blustering and getting mad, right? You see some veins popping up the neck here, and she's just shaking at this point with fury, you know, just to be schmooshed. Your story with the 12 of bluff is kind of lame, but there's the evidence. You know, like, what pin? Look, there, you know, and the bit with this won't fit you, she just takes as a personal insult.
That's hilarious.
That's your cue, Lord Varth, I believe. These two are like, yeah, covering for you, but they've got them to a standstill. So now the guards are a little, you know, unsure how to proceed.
Oh my god.
And that's their word against you. There's no evidence. Your guys have got rid of the evidence, but now it's sort of like our word against theirs, right? The three of you versus her and the sycophant's word, but there's no, I, you know.
All right, so I'll introduce myself as my companions kind of do their thing to the guards, you know, just mm-hmm. This is where I would start throwing title around, and I'll say, gentlemen,
let's bring you up.
Address the superior as you must. My name is Lord Samish Gildervarth Stethian, and this woman that accuses us is clearly mistaken. She has some personal grudge she wishes to air and have you be her lackeys. Well, I don't think that's at all appropriate.
We are sorry, my lord. We are merely doing our job. Are we to assume that these are your men?
They are in my company, yes.
Well, he means like under your control, under your house, right?
Yep.
So you say yes?
Yeah. I say yes.
Then he asks you, not them, because now they're officially your lackeys, right? My lord, in accordance to the law, would you at least let your men be subject to a search?
A search of my men is a search of my own person. She'll need more than her word to accuse me.
You understand, my lord, that you know, Lady Trant is in such high standing, blah blah blah, and the fact that you're denying us, you know, pat your guys down to make sure that they don't have, because there's two items they're looking for, not just one. Okay, so there's no pin. Well, and she insists, yes, search them immediately. They must have it. I'm looking for it. She describes the box.
Well, I honestly have no idea what she was talking about.
No,
that stuff
I know. Fafal, you have a small window to do something with the box. You know, like
that was zoinked while I wasn't even in the room.
That's,
I believe.
Yep, that's
but
fine.
No, but a search of my men is an assault upon my person. You'll do no such thing.
So while as Gildevarth is stepping up, I will reattach the collar to Barclay, and then I am actually going to dip behind Sir Gildevarth.
Okay.
For a little bit of cover.
And I'll actually try to throw down and intimidate.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Okay, Fafal, you can hide an object on your person or somewhere with a sleight of hand, and it becomes a static DC for them. You know, so you can hide it really well, and if they don't hit the perception DC of your sleight of hand statically hidden on your person or elsewhere, they don't find it. Like, search is not an automatic find in this game.
No, I'm aware.
Or were you going to plant it on Varth?
No. So, what?
they said search you, not him.
No, I'm aware.
Okay.
No, so I have my pocketed scarf. So as I, dip behind my lord, bowing ever gracefully, slip the pin into the scarf as well where I have the box and readjust so that it sits more properly and it's a lot less likely to be seen.
Sure.
So let's allows me a +4 on my sleight of hand check.
By all means. The magic scarf of extra. Oh!
I got a 30, Jeff.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, find it. I dare you.
What scarf?
I got an 18.
Like, right? He's not wearing a scarf. That's obviously a sash. I don't understand what they're talking about. Search his scarf immediately. What scarf? Okay, so starting with, going back to Varth's intimidate of...
I got an 18 intimidate.
Okay. Good, but you have two things against you. First of all, as a name character or whatever, she's not so easily cowed, and you have to, a group of guards, the DC stacks or whatever. So, Winston, Fafal's busy, Varth is standing his ground. Do you... what?
I'll step forward towards the guards.
Okay.
You may feel free to search my person. I warn you. Barclay may not be too cooperative.
Well, your lord, said, I own you, and don't touch them. You're assaulting my honor as a lord. For you to submit at this point is you saying, I'm my own guy, and Varth can no longer protect you. Or did you possibly want to aid Varth's intimidate?
Oh, I could do that.
Okay. I love how your nameplates are now Winston Diddler Varth.
Oh, Winston Dervarth.
Winston Dervarth the Wall.
Intimidate a 4. I was not successful.
Okay, so your aid another not so.
So great. I just turn and snug up closer to Gildervarth and try and get Barclay to snarl, but in doing so, I'm kind of going grrr myself. It's just not doing it.
I mean, it's a fat halfling grrring at someone. It's not very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'll side of Lord Gildevarth and be like, and place a hand on his shoulder and say, my lord, truly, it is fine. I understand that this is demeaning for both you and us, but if it will clear the air, then it will clear the air. I do not mind subjecting myself to a search. I have nothing to hide, neither does Sir Winston. Nothing. If it will simplify matters, then that is what we can do.
Nothing wrong with a man in uniform giving you a little grope.
I mean, as long as he buys me dinner first.
No dinner. Not even a crab cake, but what say you, Lord Varth? Sorry?
I said begrudgingly I will look at Fafal and put my hand on his shoulder. You're ever the one to step up. I appreciate that.
Okay.
And I'll look to the lady in the back. Kind of give her a little sneer. I will not forget this slight.
All right. So, Fafal, you subject yourself to search of person?
Yes. Full cavity search is actually preferred.
Just, do we need to go to another room? They're like, no, it's fine, man. Just no, sir. Don't you don't need to disrobe. It's fine. It's
Are you sure? As he's on.
Well, you have it hiding in your clothes. That would actually help, but No.
I'm hiding in a scarf. Like, it's a pocket inside a scarf, and the zipper is, literally, wrapped around my neck.
True, but what I meant was, if you disrobe, they're searching you, not your clothes and scarf pile on the floor.
True.
That was the joke. Anyway. Right. Here comes the search. I'm gonna give these guys your generic +2, okay at our job. And... natural 20. For 22. So they're searching you, right? Okay. What else have you got in the scarf?
Probably some of the
toys.
More expensive alchemical stuff, yeah.
And the toys, right? So they're like, aha, and she looks at Var smugly and they pull out a couple of your smoke pellets and some of that, dubious gear, your thieves' tools. Right? Hmm. Anyway, no personal belongings. But do you care to explain these, holding up your thieves' tools and some, you know, poof, Batman's...
Is he specifically asking me to explain them?
Yeah. Like, well, you're at a social function with, like, break and enter gear. That's not good.
Well, my good man, these are tools for... Well, I mean, yes, I will admit, they are, as you would say, thieves' tools.
They are for display. I'll kind of interrupt. They are for display. Show and tell. Don't we all bring interesting things to parties to talk about and discuss? These were not what you were looking for. Return them.
Obviously, he's some sort of cad, a scoundrel. He admitted he carries the tools of a thief, says Trent. Letting this opportunity slip away. No. He doesn't have my property, but obviously we've stumbled upon something here, guards. You should arrest him anyway.
It's not illegal to have personal belongings, ma'am. However, bringing them here to the Senate does, you know, doesn't bode well. Anyway, Varth Fafal, you guys are obviously bluffing. Let's have some bluffs about this, you know, show-and-tell heirloom that you've apparently...
20 on the bluff.
Oh, wow, okay. Awesome.
Well, yes.
I got a 10 to assist. Bumps him to a 22.
True, they are thieves' tools. Did I say thief out loud? Oh, my. Well, you know, Varth steps in going, blah, 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 heirlooms, right?
Conversation.
So the guards are like, are you to understand that these are have a personal significance, a sentimental value, and you carry them on your person, or there's something to do with the gallery, the arcade?
Yes, they...
And what about this fan that you stole from the arcade? What about this... Just... Let's have some rolls about the other stuff that you took that you're still carrying. All that stuff, right?
Okay, wait. Do you want me to roll sleight of hand on all of those first?
Depends. You put them all in one place?
You're like, no, no.
Wrap them up in a hanky and put them in the bottom of your pack or something? That's a single roll. If you distribute them, one goes in the boot, then I need three rolls and the stuff that doesn't beat 22. They're like, and what's this? And what's this?
Yeah.
Right?
No. They would be in separate places.
Okay, let's have them.
All right, give me a second.
Because moreover of the, you know, that we found your thieves' tools, which might actually be unlikely. 23, no fan. 17, what else did you take?
I 26. Don't remember.
There were three items. There was like a fan, a book, and a something.
What hasn't he stolen?
Okay, well, we'll go with the fan, because this is the one thing I remember, right? So 23 and 26, not bad. You've actually, they didn't find the plate. Cut, you know, that's my metal hip. But it pulls this fan, you know, and they're looking at it like 18. They're like, is this wasn't this one of the items recently donated by the Earl? Why? Yes, Chip, I think it is. And they're looking at you. I think you should come with us. Excuse us, Lord Varth, but, you know, finding, you know, if we need to clear this up immediately, that this may or may not be an item that we believe it is. We're just going to take your guy to the arcade and talk to the Earl and see if that item is missing. You know, is this some kind of replica? Like,
do I have the chance to talk my way out of this, Chef?
Well, you could insist it's some kind of replica. And like I said, if you guys put enough bluster and intimidate and bluff about how dare you even think this is a replica, blah, 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 blah. They're like, oh, we're so sorry. And they'll drop it. But that's like 20, 30. You know what I mean? Yeah. They won't even follow it up. If you go, you know, dig yourself deeper with a lie that's on par 10 to 20, then... You know, but you could another 30 or something, you could actually convince them that it's a replica, you know.
So, dude, we're first level characters 30.
He just pulled a 30 to hide the frickin' box of change yourself tea.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's because I had a plus 11 on a very specific circumstance and rolled a 19.
Oh, well, were you putting, like, it's not everything's in the fan or whatever. But anyway, do we want to give it a go? It's up to you. I'm just, my job as DM is to tell you options. Can you do this? Yes. With a really good roll, you could really cow them into, like, and don't bring it up again. This is a replica kind of thing. And they're like, oh,
Aiden, are you good at bullshitting?
Frank, I don't think you understand. I'm amazing at bullshitting.
All right. Then as soon as they find that, I'll go... You can't haul off one of my men just because he carries something that looks familiar. This is the height of style. There's a dozen in this room. There's literally a dozen in this room.
They just fall with the snap of the fan. It's the height of style.
I mean, all right. Plus, yeah. I mean, look.
And that's my assist.
Okay.
So,
so
I am also helpful, so that I get him a plus 3.
Okay, so how do you want to go, with a bluff or an intimidate here, Fafala? He's backing you for bluff. Something. Okay.
I aided in a bluff.
Okay.
Yes. So, yes, well, yes, it does look very similar to the fan that is in the arcade. It is purely just a novelty item, a replica, if you would. I found it in a shop a couple days ago, truly. And yes, it is, as you can see, many people are using fans. And look at me. I'm a sylph. It's one of those, when I am in places for too long without much air movement, it becomes truly stifling for me. So I need to keep constant air movement.
Oh, I like that. I was going to say, now you're under scrutiny. I'm going to give you a -2 penalty because they're already sort of like, you're here to be arrested. And now this is a new situation. So I was going
no penalties. He hit 30.
Well, hang on a second. So I was going to give you a -2, which Varth squashed with his +3, but I'm going to give you an additional +1 because you're saying something that you know, I'm a minority that has special needs. I'm a sylph. I need airflow with a fan. That's brilliant. I love it. So +3 for Varth's aid. +1 awesome. For coming so up cool. with that awesome racial roleplay is +4.
So -2 gives me a +2, which bumps my roll from a 28 to a 30.
Okay. So they all, as one, they all just turn to, I guess we're mistaken, sorry. The other item was the silver dagger that supposedly slayed a vampire. It's a good thing they didn't pull a weapon off of you. And what's this? Oh, it's my mail opener. As one, the guards all just kind of shrug, apologize to you and Varth, turn to Trant, and Trant's like, you useless, blah, blah, blah. You know, she turns on the guards and says, ma'am, you have already been excused from one incident because of who your father is. Please don't press your luck with the guests again. And she stomps off. And the guards turn back to Lord Varth. You know, now they're not stupid. They don't go, are bad, and walk away. They go, Lord Varth, please bear in mind that your men, while here, you know, as you said, reflect directly on your person and your lordship. And we would appreciate you keeping a tighter rein on them for the rest of the evening so that we do not have to, you know, forcibly do our job, sir. Now, if you excuse us, we're out of lines and head off.
Piss off.
Okay. Kelbo immediately comes up and goes, what a coincidence that you'd have a fan that looks just like the one that's in the arcade donated by the Earl. And you, sir, he's just astounded, but he bought everything you guys said. Does this happen often in the gentry? All this I heard there was backstabbing, but have the woman, what would you do with a snuff box of specialty? I don't understand. And what type of thing? And, you know, did you know that Earl also donated a dagger that you know, slay the vampire? You know, going on, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Kaibo just bought everything you guys said over a 10. And he's astounded.
Say, Kaibo, if there's one thing you'll learn about these parties and gatherings, it's important to surround yourself with interesting people.
Oh my god.
It makes for a great story.
I just realized Kaibo is in like the Kaibo, as in like the outhouse shitter. It's Kalbio. Kalbio. Not yeah. Kaibo. Sorry.
I don't know what a Kaibo is.
A Kaibo.
That's Canadian.
Yeah, on the. Tell me I'm wrong, Matt. There's a word. Is it Kaibo?
No.
You know what I'm talking about, right? The slang word for the country outhouse shitter where like, you know, you have outdoor plumbing, as it were.
That's called the shitar.
Commode. The commode.
Kaibo toilet? Yeah, you're
no,
right.
No, it's the commode. I need to go visit the commode. Common's fun.
Yeah, no, so, outhouse. Mm. Outhouse is it's a slang term for outhouse, the Kaibo.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, but as is commode. The commode, the Kaibo. Okay. Well, we've learned something here today, Kaibo of Breezy.
That's
Breezy.
That's what Google
Good
says.
Thing there's a breeze going through this creek because all the Kaibos and commodes and anyway. No shit.
They make quality shitters.
Yep, the shaking Winston's paw, shaking Barkley's paw, shaking Fafal, like, you know, bowing to Lord Varth. You guys are astounding. The way you stood up to those men, I think I'm in love with one of you. Dude is definitely just enamored with a lot of you guys. Good luck prying them off you now.
Great. So, but with that, I will take the fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fan myself a little bit and then store it.
And somewhere else properly, maybe?
Yes.
You know? Excuse me while I put everything in my scarf. It has these random bulk bandolier looks. Put everything in the magic
and
scarf.
Then when everything calms down, I'll turn to Fafal and give him kind of a withering look.
Uh-oh. Dad's on to you.
I'm sure there's a story to go along with that. Hopefully, it's a good one.
Look.
And just leave it at that.
You're grounded.
Zip it.
Yeah.
Zip.
Yeah. So a little while later, I had to have that come back on you. Like I said, there's, you guys had the fight and everything, and you took stuff and you get away with it at the point, but I could really see her like going off and fuming and calming down and like, well, where's my stuff? And that box of specialty is a staple to the character who they are. So there's no way you guys wouldn't have like had something like this happen where she gathered up some new guards, came back and a little choppy on my part, I'll admit, but all's well that ends well, right? So, all right, gentlemen, we've checked in, we've dealt with dissenters, we've beat up psychophants and confused ladies. Stavian has arrived. There was a light supper, and now.
As everything's kind of calming down, I'll walk back over and start petting, Barkley, and just apologies for that. And as I'm doing it, I'll slip the pin back on the collar.
Okay. Winston, another handle animal. Dude does not like being touched by anybody. It's like he's like one of those trained dogs that have the sign, I'm in training, don't touch me. He just,
18.
Okay. You're like, it's okay, he doesn't know what he's doing. Okay, he does, he lets you. So you're saying collar goes back on, pin goes back on the collar?
Yes.
Okay.
But on the inside of the collar.
Yeah, a little bit more discreetly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so can I have a sleight of hand to kind of...
Sure.
Or like I said, if you want to just have a static bonus so it's not so noticeable. 19. Okay.
Yeah, 19.
You want to make a note of that, Winston? Barkley's collar pin hidden 19. It's a static because it stays that number for the day until you move it or...
Yep.
So, Martella summons you guys to the gallery. All of a sudden, she comes over the pins. Barkley starts freaking out, hearing voices in his head. Looking around, chasing his tail in a tight circle. Where's Lady Lothi? Where's Lady Lothi? Holy crap. What do you guys want to do?
Guess we're being summoned.
Get in line behind Lord Varth and...
Okay.
Kind of make our way.
Yep. If you guys don't mind, I'll just pick you up on Moss and... oops.
Thank you. I'll mention to Calbio, just... Excuse us. We actually have some things to take care of quickly before...
Can I be of any help? It's awfully lonely on the Senate floor, and I think I love you.
At the moment, no. Actually, no, we do need your help. We need you down here on the Senate floor, keeping an eye on everything. As soon as we return, I want a full report, exactly what has happened, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm just a little confused. Your sweat smells like cinnamon, and I just... it's just... Okay. Yes,
what?
Yes, I'll do this.
The hell?
It's a line from a movie.
Thank you so much.
No, okay. Okay, I'll clear this up. Pitch Perfect 2. They're being accosted, and one of the female leads is talking to this German chick who's a singer, and she's being... really domineering, and the character just cows and goes, "You're confusing me. Your sweat smells like cinnamon. I don't know what's going on." And it's like, it's a really good line. And the wife and I just, it stuck with us. We quote it all the time. "You're confusing me. Your sweat smells like cinnamon." Anyway, sorry. I made the joke. Sorry that I had to explain it. That's what I'm sorry for. Anyway, off to the gallery, right? Back upstairs, we find Lady Lothied once again. And let's just switch over to the GM layer here. Dun, 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 dun. Come out, Lady Lothi. There she is. So let me just give you the old shift ping and draw you boys upstairs, even though it looks like downstairs. Lady Lothi. And we're going to just bring up her cameo here. There she is.
Boink. Hey, girl.
Hey. She is of half Kadarian descent, and I like how they've tried to blend a Taldian style with a Kadarian style. So she got like the Taldian purple leathers and cavats and fluffy collars, and yet there's that yellow golden Diphanus scarf and some of the sashes, and the artist did a really good job of sort of like, I'm proud to be both me and me, half Kadarian and half Taladian, and yes, I'm a walking scandal, but and she has what looks like a scimitar. And of course, nice. the gun. You guys see the handle peeking out the other side there under the other sword hilt? That's a gun. That's a noble's weapon. It's, woman carries a gun. Don't mess with this chick. Anyway. Lord Varth, everyone, thank you. so much. And she, you know, gets you the coffee table, winds up the cricket so we can talk alone. I believe congratulations are in order for not only expressly doing, trying very hard and succeeding at most of the tasks that I asked you to do personally, the particularly turning to Winston. Where is, you know, because she wants to reference the bottle, which was the samurai's mission. Where is Lord Vinbark?
Unfortunately, my lady, he was called home by his family. Some urgent matter.
He received a messenger? Oh, that's odd. It's a shame. It's, you know, it's the Night of Nights, but...
Was actually one of the Ulfin god themselves that called him away.
At this, she looks at you, kind of gets all very serious, and she's called him away or escorted him out?
It seemed more casual than a escort out. But it was... He seemed like a messenger, but it was more personal.
Interesting.
It's possibly from his father, I believe, but...
Oh, well, the Lord Mayor, his adopted father, yes, of course. Surprising he's not here this evening, but, I'm sure I will try and contact him and get to the bottom of the matter, but if he has personal business, we must excuse him. And Sir Bartholomew, looking around, where's our favorite half-orc?
You had a reason for him to go?
Yeah, a messenger. Family matters. Again. She's asking
Seems to
you.
Be a reoccurring theme.
Yeah, well, she asks you, and what of Sir Bartholomew, you know? Only three of the five of you, and answered my summons. What's up with that?
Unfortunately, my lady, they were felled in combat.
What?
No, just kidding.
What? The mighty Bartholomew? We spent all that time in the grandfather cutscenes. What are you talking about? He needs to be relevant. Where is he? No, seriously.
I kid. No, seriously. So explain.
Okay.
Same shit, different pile.
Wow. Really? This does seem suspicious that both men are called away on a night where... Because a family, if they do well here, could only benefit by having their family members here. So either their families don't trust them to schmooze, going, oh my god, not the stoic samurai who barely talks, and the half-orc who, you know, isn't really popular as a race, and yourself, not the dog, he's adorable, could, you know, be pulled because they're so worried that you make him look bad. That's the only explanation. Anyway, she doesn't dote on this, and I really shouldn't explain her thoughts, but... She is very pensive about it. Anyway, sorry. Moving on. I would still like to congratulate you for completing your missions as promised. And I will definitely reward you after the festivities with the additional items and gold that I had promised. However, I do surmise that Stavian's speech would likely be a concession to... Eutropius throne. However, anyway, all these horns, like, you guys are interrupted.
Okay.
The horns blow, and it's like, time to take your voting. Like, they call the Senate. Boom, it's zero. It's the 11th hour. Immediately, they call the Senate to vote. So, gentlemen, your places, right? Now, she had briefed you guys where you're allowed to go, how you stand, that type of thing, but basically the entire building starts funneling into the main Senate area now, because they call for the vote. So, everyone goes to the Senate itself, the inner circle, and they pack him in. We have, as you can kind of see the picture behind me, we have 220 senators. We have people like Kaibo maybe waiting in the wings to be, you know, to be shown whatever. And from the center out, you have the Senate itself, and then you have important figures like the princess and, you know, that kind of thing, right? They're all under the eye, and everyone's up in a lot of people are up in the gallery looking down, watching. And then they bring everyone in that's supposed to be there. Then they clear the Senate floor. So senators only on the floor. Everybody else can watch, like you guys from the gallery upstairs, that kind of thing. And they convene. And you guys watch for 30 minutes as they vote on various things while a bunch of you all watch from the gallery above. They argue and they vote and there's formalities. And on it goes. Finally, reaching the event that all of Taldor has been waiting for, whether to abolish the long-standing law of primogeniture. The political ruling body of Taldor spreads out 20 feet below the observation deck of the gallery. Dozens of senators and their immediate aides scurry below. A catastrophe of voices is almost deafening, and it seems the ceaseless chatter will continue endlessly. Suddenly, the magical amplified voice of the senator speaker interrupts the noise.
Thank you all. I would ask that our observers please be silent and seat themselves. We will now begin voting on the addendum number 22087, the repeal of the ancient law of primogeniture, the issuance of inheritance, and aristocratic titles solely through male heirs. Common is fun. Let me try that again. The repeal... Jeez. You'd think as a GM I would have pre-read this and practiced. The repeal of the ancient law of primogeniture, the issuance and inheritance of aristocratical title. So you know why you're here, you know why we're voting, let's just get on with it. Following the proclamation, the speaker begins calling on individual senators one at a time to support or oppose this repeal. Early declarations split evenly between the options, and many senators abstaining to vote entirely. And, of course, Lord Varth, you notice that not a senator, but you see Countess Abriel Pace, right? When they come upon somebody and then somebody goes, abstain, I abstain, she's smiling wickedly like, that's what I would have done. You know, ride the fence, ride that fence. By the end of the tabulations, the repeal passes with roughly 60% of the Senate's backing. The looks on everyone's faces, you know the vote is not tipped 50-50, it's tipped 60-40 in favor of putting Princess Eutropia eventually on that throne. The speaker takes a moment to compose himself, seemingly shocked by the results, before he continues to formally announce the initial results in a distant monotone. And so, the final tally for addendum 22087, the repeal of primogeniture, with 66 abstentions, the final tally stands at 174 and 79 against. The addendum passes. Among other business tonight, the senator recognizes Princess Eutropia Stavian I as the new heir to the primogen crown. And the first heir, and people like, you know, half the room erupt into applause and thumping and here, and a whole bunch of people just pull out their hanky and wave surrender and look very, very pissy. And his last words, as the first heir of the empire has seen in 20 years, and it's drowned out by, you know, a whole bunch of people going, oh, nonsense, what the hell? And a whole bunch of people going, oh, and they go, yes, yes. Gentlemen, with the declaration made, the chamber just explodes into this riot. It takes several minutes for this noise to die down. The speaker declares that a closed Senate recount is to take place, and he signals declaring a temporary recess. They counted. It's 170 pro, 79 con against. And they're like, let's have a recess and recount to be sure. Anyway,
can we move about the cabin when they do this, or
well, you guys are like the Senate floor is down there, you guys are up in the gallery watching.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, during the recess, she calls you back, Lothi, to finish our discussion. The woman is beaming, hardly containing herself. Well, finally, they can recount as much as they wish, gentlemen, but I believe that Lord Stavian will soon do his speech, elevate our newest member of the Bearded to the gentry class, and likely his speech will be a concession to Eutropia's bid for the throne. Now, bear in mind, gentlemen, the vote does not replace Stavian. He has, you know, made no secret of his opposition to the repeal. And she might expect an aging emperor to show no amount of restraint at lambasting the princess. However, the people have spoken, and I thank you, gentlemen, for helping me play this part. Oh, one other thing. Lord Varth, and she hands you a sealed letter. This is a message for Calbio of Breezy Creek, the peasant about to be exiled. Exalted, sorry.
Okay.
The peasant about to be exalted. Sorry. The peasant about to be exalted. It's from his parents, who couldn't afford to travel into Opera for the ceremony. She leans in
My lord, it's of a personal and emotional nature, so Kaibo's parents have asked that it not be delivered till after the big day today, you know.
Oh, I would be honored to deliver this. Tuck it away.
Wonderful. So, with that, gentlemen, you know, she summons some servantry and drinks and has a drink, you know, standing proudly with Lord Lothi, with Lord Varth, and, you know, giving you the big wink, clinking your glass, and to you, gentlemen, as well. You know, celebration, haha, drink, drink. Lovely fluted glasses of champagne. She's controlled. Whoever she brought over actually brought some really nice champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoy a moment of celebration privately with Lothied. Now people are, yeah, it's in, we're drinking, haha. And other people are going, this is bullshit, and causing tantrums all over the gallery. But in our quiet corner, behind our coffee table, with the cricket happily buzzing, we, at least this point, have our...
Moment of victory.
Moment of victory. Nice. And we will see you next time on Dice Before Dishonor.